thanks to all of you for being here and actually enjoying the tax experience that we all are involved in. I think every human being that's part of a civilized society deals with taxes. There are those of us that actually enjoy it enough to understand it and sit down together and have these policy discussions, and I'm grateful that there's several people in our state that fall into that category that will sit down and kind of analyze these things and come up with the best policies going forward. Unfortunately, we're losing some of our really bright tax minds in the legislature this year due to retirements with Niederhauser and Stevenson and McKay moving out of the House. So we're going to need, we still have a lot of really good people there that fall in that category that like taxes and that I think will still gravitate that way, but we're going to hopefully see some good bright minds step forward in the legislature that will pick up that ball and run with it, because it makes a huge difference to all of us in our day-to-day life and in our professional life in dealing with these issues and so forth going forward. Commissioner Valentine talked about federal tax reform, its impact in Utah. I'm going to talk about similar issues, but a little bit different angle on them. When federal tax reform happened, it created some potential issues with a lot of the states that states are now looking at. What should we do about that, and should we decouple from the feds and what they've done? As a general rule, Utah has adopted federal tax policy almost as much as any state in the country. We just say if the feds do it, we're going to just step right in and adopt what they've done. We don't decouple from much. This is very unlike some states like California and other big states that just say, we really don't want the feds telling us what to do. We're going to decouple from virtually everything and then pick and choose what we tie to. In Utah, we've said, no, we want to make it easy for taxpayers. We're just going to comply with most everything the feds do, and then it'll be easy and straightforward. But with this massive federal tax reform bill, there were a few issues that were passed that create some potential problems or ambiguities or concerns for taxpayers in states or for the state governments. And so various states around the country are looking at the five issues I'm going to raise with you and deciding whether they want to decouple from the federal changes for the good of the state policy. And that's really what I'm here to present to you today, is what these five issues are. Number one is the repatriation transition tax. And Commissioner Valentine talked about this and explained what it is and said that we are going to be in a special session looking at fixing the effective date and clarifying that this tax is taxable in Utah, even though it's on a separate form. There are several states out there who have said, because it's on a separate form, we're just not going to pick it up. The other issue Utah needs to decide from the legislative perspective is, do we want to pick this up? Or does Utah want to say, no, that's a windfall to our state. It's not something that was ever really earned here or intended to be taxed here. And we want to just decouple from this RTT and not pick it up in the state of Utah. So this was a discussion we had at the Legislative Interim Revenue Tax Committee meeting last week. And they're taking a look at these five issues to determine whether Utah wants to pass a bill. Probably would need to happen very soon in a special session to decouple from these various issues. Well, on the RTT, the reason a lot of states are looking at decoupling from this is because this was really passed as a quid pro quo with moving to a territorial tax system. That was a big gift to taxpayers, and in return, the federal government said, well, as you bring your money back home into this territorial system, we're going to pick up a tax of 8% to 15% on a very low rate for that money. And so that will kind of be a quid pro quo with what we're doing with the territorial system. Well, in the state of Utah, we didn't pass a territorial system. Nothing changed here with that policy. And so a lot of states are looking at that saying, well, this isn't a tax we really want to impose on our people. If they're a Utah-based company and they choose to bring money overseas from overseas here, we want to just let them bring that back, and we don't want to pick up that tax on that money. And so if we as a legislature, our state legislature chooses to they could look at this RTT and say, we just don't think that's money our taxpayers should be paying, so we're just going to decouple from that. We weren't planning on it. We didn't budget for it. It's not something we've been looking forward to, and so we're going to decouple from the RTT. That's an option. A lot of states are looking at it. I know of two, I think Connecticut and Georgia, but I'm not 100% sure on that. I do know that there are some that have already decoupled. And bear in mind, there's several states that aren't rolling states, meaning they have to affirmatively go in and adopt this. And I'd be surprised if states go in and affirmatively adopt the RTT. But for those states that are rolling states that automatically keep up with the federal changes, the question is, should they affirmatively decouple? And that's really the policy question that Utah will need to decide. So if you have any interest in that particular issue, feel free to talk to your legislators. I'm just here kind of to raise it, to articulate the issues that are out there, and then the legislature will be the one that needs to decide what to do. Issue number two is the GILTI tax that Commissioner Valentine talked about. And I just want to put a little bit more color on this. This tax, instead of taxing money that comes back from overseas into the country, actually taxes money that leaves the country and goes back overseas. There's a fear by moving to a territorial tax system that U.S. companies are now just going to take all their intangibles and stick them in a low-tax jurisdiction like Ireland. Apple, for instance, with all of its non-U.S. income from intangibles, runs it all through Ireland, and it gets taxed at about 3% worldwide. And the fear is that all U.S. companies are going to do the same thing and just ship all this intangible income off to low-tax jurisdictions, and therefore Utah or the United States misses out on that money. So the GILTI tax basically says if you're going to do that and take your money to Ireland or another low-tax jurisdiction, we're still going to impose a low minimum 10% tax on that money. So we're not going to let you just abandon ship and send it all over. The motivation hopefully will keep a lot of that income here, but if you do send it overseas, it's going to still be taxed at 10%. That's what the GILTI tax is. So Utah, if there's Utah companies that send theirs overseas, at the moment we would also pick up our tax on that at 4.95%. Well, the problem is that the GILTI tax isn't just imposed at 10%. It's imposed on your full intangible income, and then there's federal tax credits and a 50% deduction that applies, which is mathematically how you get to the 10%. So in Utah, we don't have a foreign tax credit. So our 4.95% won't just apply to the Ireland intangible income or to the Bahamas or to the Cayman Islands or to the low tax jurisdictions. It's going to apply to intangible income all over the world, because mathematically, we don't have that deduction of the federal credit coming out. And so it ends up being a lot more tax here even than the federal taxpayers are paying, which is a reason a lot of states are looking at this saying, that's just not fair. It wasn't earned here. We're not really entitled to that. It's a windfall we weren't counting on. So we should just go ahead and decouple altogether from the GILTI tax. Another question that the legislature needs to decide. Or if they don't decouple, they could maybe just make some clarifications in the law that say we'll allow some sort of credits like the feds do in order to get this to be a more reasonable tax and down to the functional equivalent of the 10% at the federal level. Okay, now to the next one. The next question as to whether to decouple relates to the interest deductibility limitations. At the moment, all interest is deductible. Congress looked at that and said, we think United States companies have too much debt. So we're going to limit the deductibility of interest to 30% of your AGI, and then we're going to allow you to carry that forward for an indefinite amount of time. And so in this case, the reason some states are looking at decoupling is just because of the complexity that creates. You're going to have your new set of books at the federal level, and now you're at the state level. A lot of times your group of a combined group is different than your federal consolidated group, And so you're going to have a whole separate new set of books for your state interest deductibility limitations. And because of the complexity that creates, the thought of some states is, well, let's just keep the state system the same. And that way you'll at least be able, you won't have to create a new set of state books. You can just keep using your same set of state books that you used in the past. You'll have a new set of federal books. And that way, hopefully, it'll reduce some of the complexity that's happening. But that's really the thought process there. It's a little bit different mindset and mentality than the GILTI and the RTT, but it's another issue that legislatures are looking at, including ours. Yeah, the other thing, if we do adopt this, we're going to have to come up with new rules, which isn't that big of a deal. The Tax Commission does it all the time. But we'll have to specify for all this interest carry forward which year you apply the apportionment to. If somebody leaves a combined group, how you deal with the interest, which year that carry forward applies to, and so forth. So there's a lot of those types of issues that will need to be addressed. And some states are saying, rather than going through that process and addressing those issues and suddenly dealing with a bunch of interest carry forwards like we already do with NOL carry forwards, let's just decouple altogether and not worry about it. That's issue number three. Issue number four, a contribution to capital situation where when local and state governments give out incentives to taxpayers to locate in their state, which happens all the time and is happening more and more around the country, that's called in some circumstances a contribution to capital, and historically that has been not taxable. Under the federal tax reform, that contribution to capital is now taxable income. So you receive $1 million from Salt Lake County to put your facility there in Salt Lake County. Now you have $1 million of taxable income that you need to report to the federal government. The issue with some state and local governments is now, do we want to tax our own incentives that we're offering to taxpayers? Some are saying yes, some are saying no, and that's just a policy call that needs to be made by the legislature. In the state of Utah, if we choose to pay out a contribution to capital, do we want to then turn around and impose our 4.95% tax on the money we just gave them? It's just a policy call that needs to be made. And what I don't know and haven't analyzed is how many of our incentives in the state of Utah do constitute contributions to capital under the federal definition. I know we have a lot of post-performance incentives and credits that may or may not qualify. It's something I haven't looked at, but this is another issue that a lot of states are looking to decouple from. And then lastly is the FDIC fees. When banks pay money to the FDIC to insure their deposits, to make sure that they don't, that if they fail, that the FDIC, insures those deposits. In the past, those fees have always been deductible. Well, as the federal government and Congress passed tax reform, they said, this is costing us way too much money. We need some way to offset a lot of this revenue loss. And one way they did that was to take away the deduction for FDIC fees. So banks no longer get to deduct these fees, which brought a whole bunch of revenue into the federal government. Well, at the local level, the question is, do we have, the only reason this happened at the federal level was as a revenue offset, and there was a huge rate cut which created the revenue deficit. In Utah, we don't have the huge rate cut. We cut it to 4.95%, but that was to offset the $80 million windfall that we were getting from the individual income tax. My understanding is that didn't take into account any of the corporate income tax, and so this money, I believe, would be a windfall to the state. And the question is, where we're a bank-friendly state that has been doing a lot of things to incentivize banks to locate here, do we want to stay in line with the feds and not allow the deductibility of FDIC fees, or do we want to decouple from that and send a message to the financial community that we do want you to locate here and that we don't necessarily need this windfall as a state because we didn't pass a massive rate cut like the federal government did. So those are the five issues, and there was discussion at the interim last week about whether to consider these in a special session. I think there will be discussion about that in the coming weeks. And that's the presentation. Thank you very much.